Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it and we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
Like never before. And Father, when it's all said and done, your name will get all glory, honor, and power. Father, we thank you for it in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What an awesome, strong prayer, Brother Glenn. Anybody got anything they want to share before we kick it over to Brother Charles?
I miss y'all, and I'm glad I'm back tonight.
Yeah, birthday boy. Yeah. Birthday boy been turning up. Welcome back. Welcome back. Always with us in spirit. Just know that. Anybody else?
Amen.
Hey,
anybody
Josh.
Else?
Josh, you my neighbor. You my neighbor yet, man?
It's getting close. October the 7th.
Oh, my grass is mighty high, man. I need you to cut my grass.
Yeah. I got you. I'm going to run over there screaming and hollering.
Ain't nobody else got nothing, Brother Charles. Take us on this ride.
All right. Let's see. How can I start this thing? The reason I came up with when Todd told me that it was my turn to share, I really didn't have anything, to be honest. And tonight is going to be short and sweet. It's not going to be very long at all. But how I came up with this was, as you all know, everybody been dealing with COVID-19 and I've heard you guys say that you had to preach some funerals. You've been to funerals, 2 and 3 funerals. It's just like every time you turn around, you're hearing about death, somebody dying somewhere. And Todd, our neighbor right down the street, you know, she lost her daughter. Her daughter was 26 years old. And she lost her daughter to COVID. And whenever, for me, when you hear so much of it, sometimes it gets you, kind of gets you burdened down. But yet, we do have a source that we can go to and that's Christ to help and to comfort us and to get us through these times that we are going through. And Psalms 91 is God. I've been reading that psalm for so long, and as a comfort and a psalm of protection. But as we look at Psalms tonight, I heard what Jerome said earlier that when he was in Iraq. He had Psalms 91 on a card with him, and that was his protection. But as we study or look at Psalms 91 tonight, I think a couple weeks ago we said that, as you study the word, it's like all of us being in a room and we see different things in the room, but when we come together and everybody share what they see in the room, we get a full picture of the room. And as we look at Psalms 91 today, this evening, I want you guys to go in a room with me in Psalms 91. And as we look in the room, share with the group what you see in the room through Psalms 91. Okay? You with me?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Psalms 91. And it's a psalm of protection, a psalm of comfort. And the writer, I see the writer as being in a room of truth. And the writer, David or Moses, saw what he saw, and he shared what he saw with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the comfort psalm. And he said that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my God, in him will I trust. I always thought about the secret place was a place that I had to search out and find for myself. But I'm learning more about the secret place. The secret place is in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that secret place is available for me. It's available for you or any believer or follower of Jesus Christ. That secret place is there for you. And the moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in the secret place because you're in him. And the good part I like about this is when we're in trouble, sometimes trouble can hit you from the blind side. It can hit you when you don't expect it. It can come from every direction. But when you're in the secret place and you know his truth will be your shield and your protection. And it goes on to say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If I'm under the shadow of the Almighty, that means through my relationship with Christ, I'm real close to him. If there's a shadow there, that means he's right there also. Then it goes on to say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress. I will say of the Lord, in him will I trust. And right there, when you have the truth in your mouth and you confessing the truth, Proverbs 18:21 tells us that it said life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So in the secret place, the psalmist is saying that I will say of the Lord. That means he is saying, he's saying it with his mouth. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress. I will say of the Lord, he is my God. I will say of the Lord, in him will I trust. When the psalmist is saying that with his mouth, that means, according to the truth in Proverbs 18:21, he shall reap the fruits of his mouth, what he's saying. And as we, as believers and followers of Christ, we always need to have that word in our mouth. So life and death is in the power of the tongue. Whenever I'm speaking life, I'm going to reap life seeds. And the psalmist goes on to say that surely, okay, go back to verse 2, say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Then he goes on to say, surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of the pestilence. Then he goes before and says, he shall cover me with his feathers and under his wings shall I trust, and his truth shall be my shield and my buckler. Right there, I saw that verse four, I saw that as when I'm in the secret place of the Most High, God makes a divine move. When he makes that divine move while I'm in the secret place, he says that divine move, when he makes that move, he covers me with his feathers and under his wings shall I trust. I've said that he is my refuge. I've said with my mouth that he is my fortress. I've said that he is my God. I've said in him will I trust. So when I'm releasing life, his life and his truth from my mouth, that to me, God, he responds to his word. And when he responds to his word, he's in that position. He's spreading his wings and his feathers over me to protect me and to keep me. Are y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
But and I reckon the thing is, I have to, as a believer and follower of Christ, I have to use the truth to attain that protection and that dwelling place. Because I could say, I can go to God with facts. Do you think he responds off of facts?
No.
Huh?
I think he responds to the truth.
But yet, how can I say this? In my walk, I've been so used to using facts and not using truth. My mind, I have to have my mind renewed with the truth. So whenever I'm in a circumstance or I'm in a situation, well, in my daily walk, I need some type of truth in my mouth for him to respond to. And not only that, that truth that I have in my mouth, within my heart, it helps me to build my faith and my trust in him. Because from what we've seen with this COVID thing, we're dealing with an unseen enemy. You can't see it. You don't know where it's at. But yet, he told us through his word right here, it says that he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the traps, and from the noisome pestilence. And he shall cover me under his, what? Under his feathers and under his wings shall I trust. And his truth shall be my shield and my buckler. When I'm going through a certain situation, I'm in a certain situation, and it's just like when you're driving a car. It took me a long time to start wearing my seatbelt. But now, over a practice of putting my seatbelt on every time I get in the car, I don't go nowhere without wearing my seatbelt. Because if I'm in a wreck, my seatbelt will help me and protect me from being ejected out of the car. Because in the past, I remember I had, you guys are still young, I had an old 68 GTO convertible, four in the flow, and I didn't know but one speed. And that was wide open, from red light to red light. I'm running wide open, drinking and driving, wide open, no seat belts, nothing. But yet, by the grace of God, he kept me through all that craziness. But yet, now I'm wearing my seatbelt every time I get in the car. And the psalmist said that his truth shall be my shield and my buckler. So whatever trials or tribulations that I come up on, and I'm in his word and I'm covered under his feathers and under his wing, I'm protected.
Hey, Charles, you mind if I throw something in there for you?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
You and Glenn especially, but the fellas are. This is it's funny, you and I, that you're teaching this class tonight, because Psalm 91 is the one psalmist that scares me from my action standpoint. So my question is, when he say he's protected us, let's say Glenn, a pastor up in a pulpit, and now all of a sudden Glenn has, we all make mistakes and we all sin, and God knows our heart. But let's say Glenn goes away from God. Does Glenn lose his protection at that particular time? That's my question.
Well, first of all, we go back to the beginning of Psalm 91. Say, he that dwells in the secret place.
Right, that's that is.
That is a continuing action.
Yes.
That you got, and then that secret place, it's just like in the natural. When you have something secret, that means that limited people have limited access to that information or that place. So when you're talking about going into a secret place of God, it has to be an intimacy that takes place.
Yes.
Once you're into that intimacy, then you see him begin to unlock these things that Charles is talking about. Because once he tells you that I abide under the shadow, as Charles stated earlier, you got to be close. Then he begins to make his confession. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. When the psalmist is talking about it, he's talking about the intimacy. Now, you're talking about walking away from God. You walk away from God, do you lose his protection? No. You can walk so far, but God's grace is never ending.
Yeah.
You can, but you have to make the attempt or the change to repent and go back. But grace follows you so far. And then you have to turn and make a decision. Either you're going to follow God or you're going to follow Satan. Because that's the confession that he asks all the time. Will you follow me or will you follow after Satan? That is the confession that Christians and the decision Christians have to make. So the question you're asking, do I lose my grace? I have it for a while, but then it runs out.
And the reason I brought it up, Glenn, because I was reading where he said, you know, after a certain time, he turns you over to a retrobate mind. And so at that particular time, if I was reading it correctly, he's basically turning you loose.
Yeah, he's letting you know. That's Acts 1 and 24.
Yeah, okay.
That's what he tells me. He said, look here, I'm giving you these things to do. And after you've refused to do them, I'm going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. But what he does is he turns you over to a reprobate mind that you be tried by Satan. So you make a decision. Am I going to follow after Satan and the destruction that come? Or am I going to follow after Christ and the life everlasting? And so he does. The Bible said that do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit by continually doing something that you know is against God.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you know, a righteous man falls 7 times and get up again. The truth is you got to repent. Repentance is the key to grace and salvation. But you have to have, as Charles is saying right here, this intimate relationship. If you find this intimate relationship with God, these are the things that are available to you. That's what the psalmist is saying. I have such an intimate relationship with him. I know his secret things. He says, take my yoke upon me, you, and learn of me. And then when we do those things, then we see that our understanding of the truth gets enlarged, because now the relationship, it's like being in a relationship with a person in the natural. The more time I spend with you, the more I trust you, the more access I give you to me. And those things, that's what that relationship is based on. How much time do we spend together that I know I can trust you with me?
And I reckon that with that intimate relationship, that's basically with anybody, you have to spend time with them. Just like with Jerome and George, you said George came to see Jerome, and you guys got away and spent some time together playing pool. I mean, that's developing that relationship, because you spent time And in that time playing pool, you said, George beat you. but my point is, you know, you have to have a relationship. How will I know my wife if I don't spend time with her? Or how will if I don't spend time with him talking to him? And that's the same thing with God and with Christ. I mean, it's an open, I mean, you, once you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you got access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at any given time. And I reckon sometimes we take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And that intimate relationship, I do all the talking and I don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, to have that intimate relationship, it's a two-way thing. He shares with me and I share with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, when Evertag told me about tonight, I really didn't want to do it because I had so much going on, so much pulling at me. But I'm glad that Tar did tell me, because it made me go and look at Psalms 91. And with me developing that relationship, searching in Psalms, digging in Psalms 91, I mean, it helped me to build me up. I mean, the Holy Ghost was building me up, and that was coming from that intimate relationship you're talking about.
I think I'm finally beginning to understand how, for me, you know, everybody might not agree with this, but how it works with God. See, when you start talking about that intimate relationship, God knows that your heart and your mind is always on him. He didn't say you wouldn't make mistakes. He didn't say you wouldn't sin. He didn't say you weren't going to do that. But he knows that your intentions is not just to walk away from him and just do all kind of things mm-hmm. out of the norm in sin. But he knows that, hey, Jerome is going to be trying to figure out how to get back on track. He's going to ask me for forgiveness. He's going to try to, he's reading the word and trying to, and he knows that even when I make a mistake, I'm grieving on the inside of, wow, man, how did I do that? I got to get better. How can I be better? Just like, you know, Glenn shooting a free throw in basketball, he might miss one. Then he said, man, I know I could have made that shot. Why did I make that? So I'm going to go back and regroup. And then the next one, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to bend my knees. I'm going to follow through and I'm going to sink the next one. I think God works. I think it works that way with God as well, man. I'm learning mm-hmm. how to not be so hard on myself when I do make a mistake, to know that, hey, in God's graces, I can get back on God's grace. Now, man is a whole different animal, but God, I try to stay right with God. That's all I want.
But I think that whenever we come before God and we can crucify that flesh and pull Amen. Back the covers
Amen.
And allow God to see he already knows.
Right. He already knows.
But allow him to see you. I mean, and it's for me. It's, in other words, I'm exposing myself to him. And when I expose myself to him, there's good, bad, and ugly there.
Peel back the onion.
Yes. But yet, the more I expose myself to him, and he changes me, I become more intimate with him, and I start looking more and more like him. And like you said, I won't beat myself up when I expose myself to him, because he already knows, and we got that intimate relationship. And you want to do what's right in the sight of God.
And that's when it kind of started for me too, because I would just go to and pray to God, but I wouldn't tell him everything.
Yeah.
Because I would feel embarrassed to tell him But once my relationship got better, I just let it all out. My sin, I just let him know. It's a big difference. When you're not ashamed to go to him to anything, for me, it was a big difference in my life. It made a big difference.
See, Jonathan, when you said that right there, man, you're in the secret place. That's that intimate relationship with him. That secret place. It's just you and him. Mm-hmm. You sharing with each other, and the more you share, the more intimate you become, and the more time you want to spend with him.
Okay. Yeah, I shouldn't have, and I love that intimate. See, we on this group, we have to be intimate about who we are with each other. Because if I can't even share it with you guys, how can I share it with God? How can God have faith when I'm with a bunch of brothers and I know I'm not living the way I'm supposed to be living, but I'm not seeking any help? God got you guys right here to help me to get through those tough times. I want to share it. I want to share who I am. To me, that's the intimacy that I have with God, because I trust you guys to walk in that with me, you know, walk through that with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the one way I look at it.
And also that intimacy kind of changed me with the small things. If I see somebody stuck on the side of the road, I say a quick prayer for them. If I see the ambulance go by, I say a quick prayer for whoever they're going to. It's just that little things to me that I just was doing that was different.
Yes.
Well, you know, you're saying things about the word intimacy, and Charles keeps saying it, and I don't think we put the two together. He keeps saying no and knowledge. And that word no is an intimate word of his own. Yep. Even in the Bible, it says he knew his wife and she conceived.
Mm-hmm.
That word no is a root word of knowledge. It means understanding. The more you get to know something, the more acquainted you become with it, the better you are to handle it and allow it to handle you. So if you stay in the word and the knowledge of the word grows, the knowledge of the truth grows, then you are more present in the changing that is going to take place, because now you know and things will get to change. Intimacy becomes greater with the most knowledge that you gain from a situation. The more knowledge you get, the more intimate it becomes. It's just like being in a relationship with another person. The more knowledge of that person you gather, the more intimate the two of you can be. And we sometimes mistake intimacy with something being sexual. Intimacy is so much more than sexual.
Yeah.
And intimacy means allowing somebody into that secret place. Intimacy means allowing them to see you when you're vulnerable, when you're hurting, when you're crying, when you're tears. Intimacy means praying for them when they don't even know you're praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's intimacy, that word knowledge, getting to know them in a manner that allows you access, that breaks down barriers. That is important, especially with getting the knowledge of God. The more knowledge of God you get, the more access he gives to you. And the more access he gives to you, the more he moves in your life.
Amen. And you know, the more... the closer you get to him, the more you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, there's a need there deep down on the inside that can't nothing or nobody feel but him.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer I get to him, the more I know about him, his being is deposited on there, and that inner man grows. I mean, I'm expanding from the inside out. And the real unique thing is, when you think you know, you know, I'm getting pretty good at this thing, God shows you, you don't know, think you know. Now, like Psalms 91, I done read Psalms 91, read it. But in that verse four, I never seen where God makes a divine move when you're under his wings and under his feather. That's a divine position that he's in. I've read that, but I've never seen him actually in that position, if that's making any sense. And when he's in that position, in that divine position, the psalmist goes on to say, thou shalt not be afraid by for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor destruction that waiteth at noonday. And this, watch this now. When God is in that position and I'm in that secret place, he says, a thousand shall fall at my side and ten at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Man, and golly, to show up what Christ did in Romans 8, verses, 31 through 35. Let me just read this. When he makes that divine, well, Christ, when he makes that divine move and you in that secret place and you under that, his wings and his feathers, look what this says. It said, and we already read, say, a thousand shall fall at your side, 10,000 at that right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Romans 8, verse 31. It said, what shall we say to these things? Watch now.
God be for
us. God Almighty, if God be for us, who can be against us? And look at the sacrifice he made. He said, 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Then from that position, in that intimate, in that tab, in that secret place, we can say, who shall lay anything to what?
Discharge.
I can't read. What that saying?
Discharge.
Yes, it's God that justifies.
Mm-hmm.
Who is he that condemneth? It is God, it is Christ that died. Yes, rather at the right hand of God and making intercession for us. Even when I pull back that covering and he see the good, the bad, he's still making intercession for me. Even in my shortcomings and even in my weakness and my good and my weaknesses and my strength, look what he says. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Who shall tribulation, distress, persecution, sickness, or peril, or sword? Now, when we in that position, man, look what it says. Now it goes on to say, but I am persuaded that neither COVID, nor cancer, diabetes, death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. When we can demonstrate this truth, what we just read there, nothing. He said, nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of Christ. Not one thing, no matter what comes your way. And Psalms 91 is like, it's hard when you read this truth, it's hard not to change. When we read this truth builds our faith and builds our hope, establish our hope. And this Psalms 91, when y'all, a couple of weeks ago, everybody was sharing about how they were going through things, going to funerals and preaching funerals and people that were sick with COVID. I started reading Psalms 91 over my household. I started declaring Psalms 91 over my household, over my wife, over my children and their household. Yeah, getting up in the morning declaring this truth. And whenever I think about it during the day, I might not quote the whole thing, quote something out of that psalm over your life. And tells us whatever we're going through, when we're in that secret place, when we're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, don't matter what comes your way, he just told us, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's protection and that's comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody got anything? Hey, Mr. Dakota, how you doing, sir?
God bless you, man of God. How are you?
Doing good, man.
Hey, man. Psalm 91.
Yes, sir.
I know that's what you just said it about, I believe the part I know I just came in, the part by the angel shall, that won't let you dash your foot against the stone. I think when the angels uphold you, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that Psalm 91?
Yes. Correct? Yes.
And I remember that's the, if y'all haven't discussed it already, if y'all haven't said it, the part where the, Satan had told Jesus that when he used the word against him. But he, misinterpreted it, as always, of course. That's why we always say the devil knows scripture too, and he used Psalm 91 against our Savior. I mean, the nerve of him, but that's what he do. And like I said, if he tempted Jesus in the world, he'll tempt anybody. But he did use that particular scripture, Psalm 91, about that, about when he told Jesus to go on the mountaintop or whatnot like that.
Throw yourself down.
Amen. He used Psalm 91.
Oh, man.
And that ties in that word intimacy and knowledge. Jesus had an intimate relationship with God because he said often that I am in the Father and he is in me. And before that proclamation, before that conflict with the devil, there was just a proclamation made by God. This is my beloved son of whom I'm well pleased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when Satan came tempting him with that scripture, Jesus basically quoted Psalm 91 right back to him.
Come on.
He says, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was basically saying, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Okay. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. And yes, him will I trust.
Yes.
Though 1,000 shall come at my side, 10,000 at my right hand shall not come nigh my dwelling. He was letting him know, I mean, you can't defeat me with the scripture. I know what it is.
Amen.
Because I'm intimate with it. I'm with God. I understand where I'm at. So when we see that we're going through something, that we have that same intimacy with God, that if we are in him and he is in us. Jesus said that if you, if my word abide in you, you abide in my word, you can ask whatever you will and it shall be given.
Be done.
I'm abiding in the word, it's becoming a part of me. I'm getting a deeper understanding. I'm getting a deeper intimacy with it. So the more I get intimate with it, the more I know it. So when Satan comes, I got something to fight with.
Yes.
I got something to fight with. It's the same thing if you're in the natural. See, you're in the natural. Whenever you're facing an issue, the more knowledge you gain about the issue that you're facing, the better you are to face it. If you're going in a court battle for speeding, but you don't know your rights, unless you go by what the word of the policeman said, but if you go to study the statute, and get knowledge of the statute, then when you present the statute in court to that officer, less likely you are to be convicted because you have knowledge of something and there is a loophole, a way of escape, just like the Bible provides for us. So we have to get intimate with the things that we are dealing with so that we can find our answers that we need, find our truth that allows them to be our shield and buckler.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it, Glenn. And the good part is when I know my covenant And when I know my rights and privileges, when I know who I am in him, I'm going to win. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I was thinking the other day, and I'm going to get back to some. I was thinking the other day how the world has programmed you to kind of drift away from God. Because I was thinking, who told me that I was a minority? Mm. Who told me that? God didn't tell me that. God says that although my hair gone, he knew that all these strands of hair on my head and they are numbered.
Come on. Amen. Amen.
And he said that.
Come on. Yes, sir.
He knew me.
Come on.
He knew me. If he knew me and I was fashioned in his image, in his likeness, and in my inner man, I'm like Christ, but in my flesh, I got my own DNA. Nobody has the same DNA that Charles has.
Amen.
If he created me with that DNA that nobody else have, how in the world am I a minority? I'm a majority. Ain't but one Charles, ain't but one Dakota, ain't but one Jerome, ain't but one Todd, ain't but one Glenn, Jonathan, John, ain't but one.
Amen.
He thought about us enough to set us apart from everybody else that he, you know how many people that he created?
Come on.
And here I am for years, I'm thinking I'm a minority. I'm not a minority, I'm a majority.
Come on now.
And he just said, as a majority, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Then he goes right on, let's go back to Psalms 91, and it says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why won't it come nigh to me? Because I am unique in him. And but one Charles, one Glenn, one Jerome, and the good part about that is he's in us the same.
Amen.
But yet, that uniqueness that he has given us makes us, according to the truth, more than conquerors.
Come on now.
Then he goes on and said, now only with our eyes, okay, verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and receive the reward of the wicked. Then he goes on and to tell us about this uniqueness, what he created you. Look at this, because Josh has made the Lord his refuge, even the Most High, his habitation. There shall, now this is what God said, there shall no evil befall upon you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling place. That's truth.
Amen.
That ain't no fact. That's the truth.
Yes.
Then he goes on, and I, for me to truly understand that this truth, like we said earlier, I have to spend time with him. I have to be intimate with him. Meditate on this word, think on this word, and act on his word, because it's for me and it's in me. And the hard part is allowing him to be who he is in me. That's the hard part for me, for Charles. But when you and it's a growing process, and that's the good part. And he loves us no matter where you're at, because ain't but one Dakota, ain't but one Billy, ain't but one Jonathan, ain't but one.
Amen.
Yes. Then it says, "For he get for now." This is what you're talking about. Dakota, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Amen. Then this is the part they said, then you shall tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon. You shall trample under your feet. Don't matter what the enemy send your way, God has given you authority over every demon, every demonic force, every witch. He has given you power, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That same power that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you as a believer and as a follower of Jesus Christ. Any questions? Anybody got any
questions? No, I'm liking that. I like that part where you just talked about, where it says that you shall tread upon the lion and the adder, young lion and the dragon, thou shalt trample on the feet. And those are depictions of Satan. Mm-hmm. And if you remember in Genesis, after Eve was tricked of Satan, and God makes the proclamation that he should crawl upon his belly and eat dust, and that the woman shall and the man shall work by the sweat of his brow. God makes a proclamation to them both and says, I will put enemy between your seed and the woman's seed, and you mm-hmm. shall bruise his heel, and he shall bruise your head. That's a depiction of what happens when you talk about trample him on the feet. That's mm-hmm. that bruising process, that you're going to have to come in contact with the devil at some time in your life, but you have to understand that your authority is above and not beneath. And as long as you can keep the understanding that your authority is above and not beneath, you're going to have victory. You'll be able to walk on him and not have to worry about the ramifications of him messing with you, because you have made the Lord your habitation, and that everything's going to be all right in the end. So I love that scripture, how those two tie together. Mm-hmm. And he's showing us in that picture that he's keeping his word from Genesis 3 and allowing us to see that when the enemy comes, we have the authority to put him under subjection and not be subjective to what he has.
Amen, Glenn. That's it, man. That's the truth.
Amen. Truth.
That ain't facts. That's not a fact. That's the truth, Glenn. Amen. Thank you. Then goes on, and, hey, I'm about finished, man. Then verse 12 says, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash thy foot against the stone. They shall tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion, the dragon, shall thou trample under your feet. Now, this is the good part here. Well, all of it is good, because he has set his love upon me. That's that intimate relationship. In that intimate relationship, because you have set your love upon the Father, he said, then he promised, just look at this promise, therefore I will deliver you, I will set you on high, because you have known my name. That's out of that intimate relationship. And then he says, you shall call upon the Father. And he said, I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. I will respect you, because you honor my word, and with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. And right there, that tells me when I do his will, he's going to bless me with a long life. Do y'all see that? He says, with what? With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. When I'm doing his will, He gonna honor me, honor us with long life.
Amen.
That's all I got, gentlemen.
No, I love this psalm because I really look at the psalm as a conversation. And the reason I say that, if you look at the first 13 verses, it's like a person is making a declaration.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the last part of it, in 14, it's like God is speaking.
Yes.
Because the first 13 verses, that's somebody giving you an understanding. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at the word change in verse 14, he says, because he has set his love upon me,
yes,
therefore I will deliver him from on high, because he has known my name. God is beginning to speak now. That's an addendum to it. The first 13 verses was somebody making a proclamation. That's me telling y'all how to get close to my God.
Mm-hmm.
But then 14 down to 16 is my God answering to tell you the benefits of getting close to my God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've always liked, because it looks like a conversation that's being had, and God is now putting his word on sealing what has been taking place in the first 13 verses. And when he says that, because you have set your love upon me, that's that word, that's that intimacy again.
Yes.
So you can't have love without intimacy. Because you put the time in, because you studied the word, you got understanding, you dwell in my secret place, you made me your habitation. I mean, you're thinking on me all the time, and I'm inhabiting you, you're inhabiting me. Then he said, I will deliver him and set him on high because he has known my name. And he shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I'll be with him in a time of trouble and deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? God puts the cherry on the top. With all that being said, he's like, look here, I want you to understand what it was going to take place. And now that you figured it out, this is what I got for you.
Amen.
Jerome. Amen. Jerome, you still there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
I got a question for you. Why did you have that sign, that Psalms 91 on that little card you had? Why did you have that?
But when I first got to Iraq, we had people sending us what they call care packages. Mm-hmm. And in my care package, somebody had it. And I guess it was just for me, man. It's just the one I chose. That's the one they sent to me. And I took the card out and put it in my wallet, and we wore them around our neck, and I carried it with me the whole time, the whole 12 months, 13 months. Somebody sent it to me.
So would you agree what it says in verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 your right, but it shall not come nigh you?
And I believe in the whole thing. It's such a strong, powerful Psalm 91 it was my livelihood. And what tonight has done is let me know how I need to get back to reading it, because I hadn't really focused on it like I used to. And I need to get back to that. I need to get back there, because it's not just protection, man. It's a guidance. It's so much in that. It's just so much in that. And Glenn just summed it up on some of that last part about when you dwelling with me, this is what I'm going to do for you. Mm-hmm. See, I never thought about that until Glenn just summed that up. See, when you do stuff for God, he's saying, hey, you dwell with me, I got you.
He go on it. Yes.
Yeah. He said, hey, you dwell with me, I got you. So, you know, it just brought back memories, man. Back in 2005 and 6, that's where I was, and I had that thing around my neck the whole time. And now I pass it on to my son, and now he's, you know, it wasn't 3-4 months ago he showed it to me. He still carried it in his pocket.
Good.
Psalm 91.
Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Now, thank
good
you.
Good job, brother. Good job, Brother Charles. Man, this that when you sent me that, it was kind of weird, because as I'm transitioning into and moving forward, I've been in a state where I've been kind of, I don't want to say murmuring and complaining, but in my spirit, I've been doing a lot of why this and why that, why God, you know, this ain't where I said supposed to be, XYZ, all those things. And then I read this a couple of times, man, and then God showed me the good, he always shows us the blessings. Even I'm still being blessed as I'm transitioning throughout this stuff in my marriage or whatever. And so just to read this and to take that comfort, I find comfort in it. Yes. It's uncomfortable because we don't necessarily know who. We want to know where this is going and how it's going to look. What's the next turn? What's the next street? How long I'm going to be on that street? You know, but the comfort is knowing that he's still driving.
Yeah.
And for me, I think I struggle, and I'm not sure the rest of you guys do. I know I struggle with fully submitting. You know, even as he highlights the blessings in the storms, he said, hey, look, even though you hear, look, you know, I still struggle with fully submitting and say, hey, I do trust because I'm seeing the blessing, but I don't fully trust to the point where I can let go and say, I'm following you, Lord. No, it is what it is. I think I can say it, but in my heart, I feel like I'm not doing it. So this scripture, this passage, man, was spot on for me.
Man, even what you just said, Tom, what you commented on in that intimate relationship, when you pull back the cover of who Todd is,
right?
God still loves you with all his heart. He still wants the best for you. He has made that deposit of himself within you, and he's gonna bring it to pass because he is God.
Right. Right. And I believe that, and I take solace in knowing that, like, through it all, he hasn't stopped loving me because he's still blessing me, he's still covering me, he still, all the things that before 2-3 months ago, all those things are still the same. He's still my protector. He's still all those things for me. So it's about that perspective. For me, it's about how I see his protection, his covering, his comfort for me. You know, my perspective get toward, he's still the same forever and for always.
Yes.
Great lesson tonight. Anybody got want to chime in before we do our takeaways?
I've been wanting to do this for a while, and it might take a few minutes, but if you guys allow me, I would like to speak this word and declare this word over your lives, over your households, and over your family. Amen. Can I do this? Can I do it? And this is Psalm 92. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Todd will say of the Lord, he is his refuge. Dakota will say, he is my fortress. Jonathan will say, he is my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver Glenn from the snare of the fowler and from the northern pestilence. He shall cover Jerome with his feathers, and under his wings shall he trust. His truth shall be his shield and buckler. Though a thousand, thou shalt not be afraid by the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day over your household, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that waiteth noonday. 1,000 shall fall at Billy's side, 10,000 at Billy's right hand, but it shall not come nigh Billy. Only with our eyes, with our eyes shall we behold and receive the reward of the wicked, because Dakota has made the Lord, which is his refuge, even the Most High, his habitation. There shall no evil befall Jerome, there shall neither any plague come nigh Jonathan's dwelling place.
Amen.
For he shall give his angels charge over Josh to keep Josh in all his ways. They shall bear Josh up in their hands, lest Josh dashed his foot against a stone. Todd shall tread upon the lion and the adder. Yeah. The young lion and the dragon shall trample under his. Because Jerome has set his love upon the Lord. Therefore, will he deliver Jerome and set Jerome high, because Jerome known his name. He should give his angels charge over Jonathan.
Thank you, Jesus.
And will answer him and will be with him in trouble. He will deliver Jonathan and honor Jonathan. With long life will he satisfy Glenn.
Yeah, Jesus.
And show Glenn his salvation. And Lord, we decree and declare your word over my brothers and over their household.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, and we bless your name.
Yes, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
That's probably one of the most powerful things I ever heard somebody do. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Oh, I felt that.
Yes, Jesus.
Oh, man. Good night, man. Really, really strong night. Really deep night. You can feel the spirit. I still feel it really heavy, man. I needed it. I'm in a place tonight, one of the Tuesday night that I really needed you guys. And my spirit is definitely fed. Jonathan, give me give me a takeaway.
Thank you, Brother Charles. I needed that. God bless you and your family. God bless all of y'all. But when I first started my relationship with God, I was always just saying, God, I need you. I need you. I was afraid to tell him I was scared because you're supposed to have faith and trust in him. But once I just said, God, I'm scared. I need you. I said, God, I'm scared. I need you. I felt more comfortable with talking to him and telling him everything, and that I saw a difference in my life and my relationship. I wasn't ashamed to talk to him. I don't care if 10 people sitting around. If they say I'm talking to myself, I'm like, okay, I'm talking to myself, but I know who I'm talking to.
Amen.
So come on. I just thank God for giving me the chance to get to know him and giving me that energy and that spirit to want to know him. And for those that are scared to make that walk or on the fence, I just say just talk to him. Whatever you're going to talk to him. Thank you for the night. God bless y'all, fellas.
Amen.
Good job, Brother Jonathan. Love you. Brother Josh.
Awesome job tonight, Brother Charles. Really appreciate the word that you brought and allowing God to use you to bring that word to us. I just think with Psalms 91, what I get from it is just everything that we should look forward to as a Christian. It talks about how he's going to take us up under his wing and he's going to protect us. But it also talks about the storms and things that we'll go through. But if we just keep the faith and keep believing in him, that he's going to pull us through those and give us everlasting life with him. And I mean, I feel like that scripture summarizes just everything about this walk.
Yes.
Good job, Brother Josh. Good job. Love you. Curtis Bird.
Good evening, all my brothers. Hey, I'm speechless, man. Brother Charles got me over here, man. My legs been shaking since he started. My legs have not stopped shaking. He, like they say, he touched a nerve right there. But I love it, man. Oh my God, that's all I got, man. I'm speechless.
Good job, Dirty Bird. Good job. Love you, man. Love you, Brother Dakota.
Amen. God bless you, mighty men of God. Thank you, Brother Charles. Amen. Thank you for speaking that word in my life and over the life of the brothers on here and our households. God bless you for that.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Definitely needed that. Amen. I'm like Brother Jerome. It's been a while since I read Psalm 91. But verse 15, when it says, I will be with you in trouble.
Oh.
My God. How many times have we been in storms and it seemed like God is so far away when we're going through things? You look like you're praying and your prayer's not getting answered and stuff is piling on top of one another. And it says right here that I will be with you in trouble.
Yes.
God is with us. No matter what we're going through, he said, that's the word right there to confirm that. No matter when we feel like we're alone and he's a million miles away, he's right there with us.
Yes.
And he says that he will hear us when we call upon him. My God. Yes. He hears the prayers of the righteous. That's confirmation right there. It's just like with Brother Johnson, when you're scared and when you feel like you're alone, God is right there. And Psalm 91 and 15 will tell you that he's right there with you. Whatever you're going through, he's right there by your side. God bless you, Brother Charles. God bless all you brothers. I love you. God bless
you. Good job, Brother Dakota, man. Oh, man, that was for me. I've been feeling like really alone lately. And so with you, that scripture 15, man, it resonates when I read it. And then you confirmed it just now. So thank you, man. Love you.
God, praise God.
But Brother Charles.
Hey, I ain't got nothing else, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Charles. Hey, man, I think, and some of, I could talk to you guys. A lot of it is, man, some of the stuff I go through, me and Charles spend so much time together, and me not being able to kind of have that as usual. And it's our selfish nature, what we want. You know, we don't really like change. And so on Tuesday, when I see him on here and not be able to walk down the street, you know, it's difficult. But it's part of the process. And the sun is going to shine. I'm going to get through this, you know, and we're going to look back at this moment and we're going to laugh about it. Whatever, however it turns out, we're going to still laugh about it. I know he's my brother. He still loves me. I still love him. You know, it's just not what it used to be from that selfish standpoint, but it is what it is. Great job tonight, bro. Great job. Brother Jerome.
You know, I just love the way God used people to give you what you need.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he did with Charles tonight.
Man.
Because that Psalm 91 has always been a great one. It's always been something very special to me. So I just thank you for bringing it up. And it was powerful. That's all I have.
Good job, Jay. Good job. Oh, man. Before I turn it over to Brother Glenn, man, it's just crazy, man, how this on time word, you know, we hear that a lot. I think a lot of times people throw it around kind of loosely. But this lesson tonight was straight. It was really an on-time word in so many ways, because that 91, Glenn and Jerome did a really good job of and Brother Charles of taking some different angles that I didn't really think about as I've read it a couple of times. And so, man, it was really powerful for me tonight, man. I hope a lot of people got what I got from it, and can't wait to see what next week bring. Not sure who teaching next week, but I'll be texting you guys later on. Brother Glenn, take us home.
Hey, man. Charles, man, again, it's been said how this scripture resonates with everyone, but yes, especially for me. When I'm in my dark place, this is where I go. And with the things I've been struggling with over the last few weeks and the things I've seen and how my heart has just been broken by the loss of my family members and some personal things I was dealing with in my own, man, I had to go to it. And then you bring it back today, just, you know, let me know God's listening. But even sometimes on this side, you feel like you're by yourself and nobody can hear. But God is, he's still able, he lets you know. And that declaration did it for me. It really shook the inside of me. And I thank you for it, and I receive it. And, you know, I just want to just continue to ask God's favor upon you and restore back that virtue that you poured out tonight. And the love that you've shown us and given it to us, I pray he gives you even more. Amen. All hearts and minds are clear. We'll go ahead and go to the Father. Father God, is in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, God, and for this lesson that has been taught tonight, God, how, Father, when we cohabitate and dwell in your secret place, Father, you open up our understanding. And Father, as we go away, Father, from this group tonight, Father, knowing that we love each other, Father, we lift each other up right now in the name of Jesus. Hold us, God, in the hollow of your hand, God, that our hearts may not be empty, but filled by your word, Father, and knowing that your loving kindness has drawn us even closer to you. Father, we ask right now that the man of God that has poured out the virtue, Father, that you restored unto him 100-fold, God. And God, when he asks anything, Father, grant it, Father. You say, when two or three gathered, there shall we be. The Father, we touch and agree right now, Father, with this word that has gone forth. and it will transform our lives, God. Open up our understanding, and we'll have a more intimate relationship with you. Father, look upon every family that is dwelt here today, God, and represented. Father, we ask right now for a special blessing, God. Bring back together, God, what has been torn apart. Heal what has been broken. Deliver what has been captivated, Father. And Father, when it's all said and done, God, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. Father, we thank you for the miracle already that is taking place, God. And when it manifests, Father, let us not be able to do anything but give you all the glory. We thank you for what you're about to do. In the master's name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Good night, brothers. Good night, brothers.
May y'all have a blessed week. Good night.
Love y'all, man.
Love y'all, bro. Oh, yeah.